And I would guess that most of us could say the chances are that sometime in the future we'll have some difficulty. And it may be that you are even right now in a time of difficulty. We're in a series entitled, A Name You Can Trust, Knowing God by His Names. We're learning about how God reveals Himself by His names. There's a scripture that we have quoted together each time we have been in this series. It's Proverbs 18:10. Let's lift our voices together and say this scripture. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now remember, whenever God introduces Himself by a new name, God is saying, hello, let me tell you about myself. And today, the name that we're going to learn when God introduces Himself, He introduces Himself in a time of difficulty. And do you know there are times when God allows difficulty in our lives because He wants us to know Him in a greater way and in a new and a fresh way. So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Now while you're turning, let me tell you the backdrop of this occasion. Oh, the people of Israel for 430 years were slaves in Egypt. God miraculously intervened and stepped into their lives. He brought them out of Egypt. You remember following Moses? You remember all the plagues? Do you remember all the wonders that they had seen God do for them? And God brought them out of Egypt in the Exodus. They came to the Red Sea. And oh, you talk about a tough place because Pharaoh's armies pursued. And they come to this place and they wonder, what are we going to do? And God again intervenes miraculously. He opens up the Red Sea and the people march through the Red Sea. When they get to the other side, then Pharaoh's armies charge in. And as they charge through the opening, God then brings the waters down upon them. And a wonderful victory is had. It was so wonderful, Moses had to sing about it. In Exodus chapter 15... records the story or the song that Moses sang leading the people to praise the Lord for the wonderful things he had done. And then after that, even his sister Miriam got into it. In fact, Miriam, and I call this Miriam and the Miriamettes, because she pulls out her tambourine. It's a timbrel. You read that in our Bible, timbrel or tabret. It's the same Hebrew term. It's a tambourine. And then she has her tambourine and she's shaking and the tambourine and whatever you do with the tambourine. I sort of like the tambourine. I think of myself when we have songs with a tambourine as the official tambourine player. And I like it a lot. It's fun to play the tambourine. So, and then the women, and they're praising the Lord. And I mean, what a delightful time of victory and of joy and of praise for the great things that God had done for them. But now we read how God, from that time of great victory and delight, brings in a difficulty. Would you stand with me and we'll read this account. Standing together, please. I'll start reading in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now remember, there are about 1.5 million people at a minimum, up to, it's estimated, 3 million people. Then you have livestock in addition to that. How many of you think that if you're in a wilderness with no water for 3 days with 1.5 million people and all the livestock, you would get desperate? Yeah. Some of us have a hard time if we don't have our water bottle with us all the time. So 3 days in, no water. Time of desperation. Well, read verse 23. And they came to Marah. And they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And they were looking at this, and they saw an oasis, and oh, wonderful! But they get there, and the water is undrinkable. It's bitter. That's what Marah means, bitter. So there's disappointment, not fit to drink. And then what do you do when things aren't going your way? Well, you'll notice what the Bible says happens. Verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And there's dissension. And then verse 25, he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. God brings deliverance. But God was not through yet, because God reveals himself with a new name, and he makes this disclosure in verse 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now this is where God reveals himself. When you read in your Bible, "I am the Lord that healeth thee," we learn about another name of God. For the very first time, God reveals himself. He is here Jehovah Rophaika, or Rophaika. Jehovah Rophaika. He is the God who heals. And on this time, in this time of difficulty and of God's miraculous intervention again, God wants his people to meet him as the God who heals. And you know, God is still the God who is Jehovah Rophaika. He is still the God who heals. And let's ask him to help us to meet him and know him in a greater way today. So Lord, we come to you asking for your help, because really, if there isn't a spiritual work, that is the Holy Spirit interacts with us as individuals so that we meet you, we've missed it. And so I yield to you for your help, for the Holy Spirit to help in explaining the Bible. And I ask for help and guidance, Lord. I want to be true to the truth and to you. And so give guidance for that. And all of us, we need to have you meet with us wherever we are. We're here, we're watching streaming, we're in the fellowship hall. Wherever we are, we know that you're with us. And we ask you to manifest yourself to us. For we pray this, yielded to you, in the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So, what is God doing in my life in times of difficulty? Well, I want you to know first, and really God wants you to know, that every difficulty is a time of testing. Now, Israel, as they saw it, they thought it was about water. And oh, they were desperately in need of water. They thought it was about survival. But God was doing something else that was far more important, because, see, for God, water, no big deal. But God was doing something far more important. I want you to notice in your Bible in verse 25 that Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he, what's the last two words, church? Proved them. Do you know what God was doing? God was doing something far bigger than water. God was proving them. God was putting them in a test. And I want to tell you that God brings difficulties in our lives, and every difficulty becomes a time of testing time, a testing time. What do you learn about yourself when you go through times that are difficult? What does your response reveal about you when you go through times of difficulty? Oh, for Israel, they were desperate. They were disappointed. They thought, oh, there's water, and they didn't get water when they thought they would and could. And they can imagine, God, why did you lead us here without water? And you see their reaction. Do you see what they do? Lord, you are so faithful. We cannot wait to see how you're going to provide water. No, look at your Bible. Verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, complaining. And when they came to a time of difficulty, And the pressure was put on when they had the squeeze put on, what really came out. What came out was what they really believed about God. They had, just imagine what they had seen. How many of you would love to have seen what they saw? Miracles? Wow. But even with all that they had seen, they didn't really believe that God had led them and that God would be faithful and could provide for them when they could not see the way he would provide. You think about in your life when you go through times of difficulty, what does that difficulty, when the squeeze is put on you, what comes out? What really does it show you about yourself? Sometimes those times of difficulty are wonderful. Not that we enjoy them, but sometimes in those times of difficulty and we're squeezed and what we really believe about God and who we really are comes out, and we realize that God has been so faithful that I didn't react the way I would have reacted. Because I've grown and God has been so good to me, and I thank you. Sometimes when that squeeze gets put on us and what's inside comes out, God reveals to, hey, there's some more areas of your life that need to be changed and you need to grow. Now I have a question for you. What would happen if somebody was writing your story about the time of difficulty you've been through? If they're writing your story, the time you were under pressure, the time you came into a hard time in your life, and I wonder if somebody was writing your story, what would they write about you and how you responded and what you really believed about God? Did you believe that God was a good and faithful God? Did you believe that God was well able to take care of things that I could not take care of? Did you believe that God was wise? Were you grateful whenever God brought difficulty into your life? What would they write? One of the reasons God brings difficulty is to bring us to a time of testing. And in the time of difficulty that you have, God is helping you to learn about yourself. For me to learn about myself. Hey, but there's something else God is doing. The other thing God is doing in times of difficulty is this. Every difficulty is a time of teaching. Yes, every difficulty is a time of testing, but every difficulty is a time of teaching, and God was using this testing time as a teaching time as well. So when you read this in the Bible, this is the way God expresses it. Look at your Bible, Exodus 15. Look at verse 25 again. The waters are made sweet, and then God describes it this way. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. Now, you know what I would call this? I would say there he taught them a life lesson. He said, there's a principle that you need to learn here that I want you to learn because this will guide you in your life. And in life, when you go through difficulty, God wants to teach us life lessons, principles that guide us in our present, principles that guide us in our future. And in this passage, then, there is a lesson learned anew. And here is what they needed to learn. The lesson learned anew is this. You can trust God. You can trust God. Have you ever learned that lesson in the past that you can trust God? Have you learned that? In every difficulty, God again teaches us, you can trust me. So God, in this passage of Scripture, taught them, as he teaches us as we read it, that we can trust God. You can trust God when he leads into difficulty 3 days without water. In the Sinai Peninsula, barren, desolate. I think you almost have to be there to imagine, how terrible it would be to be stuck there with no water, and day after day after day, and no water. What are we going to do? You read in your Bible that this was 3 days. Verse 20, to. God had led them to this place. He led them to this situation, and it seemed hopeless, and there's no answer. But what they did not know is that they were not beyond the knowledge, care, or capability of God. And in your life, sometimes God leads you into difficulty because God wants you to know that you are never beyond the knowledge, capability, or care of our God. You say, well, God, if you cared about me, you wouldn't have led me here. You wouldn't have put me in this situation. I deserve better. This is just not fair. Now, how many of you kids, sometimes things happen in your life, and you kids like to, maybe you'll say that to mom and dad, maybe you won't, but you say, you know, I don't like it. I deserve better. It's just not fair. How many of you kids ever think that at least? Yeah, and you should see what I see. They're looking around. I'm not sure if I want to raise my hand. You know what happens, kids? You're going to grow up. You know what you're going to do when you grow up? I'm going to tell you what you're going to do when you grow up. You're going to have a time of difficulty. You're going to say, it's not fair. It's not right. I deserve better. God, don't you care for me? So whether you're 8 or 18 or 68, we still have to learn to trust God. Because God leads us into difficulty. And when He leads into difficulty, we still have to learn to trust Him. And oh, many of you have walked with God a long time, and you look back and you see how God has been faithful and true, and you've watched God work on your behalf, and now He's bringing you into another difficulty. And while your faith has grown, every difficulty still is a test of faith, isn't it? Still is. So you can trust God when He leads in difficulty, and then there's something else God was teaching. You can trust God to make sweetness out of bitterness. So the people come to Moses. And they're complaining. Moses, what are you going to do? How could you lead us here? What is God? And he goes to the Lord. Okay, Lord, what are we going to do? And so the Lord tells him in verse 25, he showed him a tree. And he cuts it down and he casts it into the water, and the waters were made sweet. Wow. Miraculously, again, God intervened. They couldn't have seen it. They couldn't have imagined it. But God stepped in and takes that which was bitter, and He makes it sweet. Did you know that God is still a God that takes things that are bitter, and out of that bitterness can make sweetness? This is who God is. And sometimes things happen in our lives and we respond to the Lord, and rather than gratitude, how many of you know sometimes it's easy to become bitter? It doesn't go our way. We don't see it happen the way we think it should happen. And we become bitter people. But I'm going to tell you that God is the God that takes bitter people and He makes them sweet. God is the God that takes bitter situations and out of them He brings sweetness. But the only way you learn that sometimes is to go to times when you fight bitterness and have to learn to trust God to make sweetness. And you go through experiences that are bitter tasting, but in time you watch God turn bitterness into sweetness. There's a wonderful New Testament scripture that addresses the subject. It's Hebrews chapter 12. I would invite you to keep your place in the book of Exodus. But go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll read verse 15. Looking diligently Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I want to tell you that whenever you have a bitterness matter and you are struggling with the sin of bitterness, understand that this sin of bitterness will create all kinds of trouble for you. But wait a minute, not just you. There'll be people all around you that your bitter spirit will create problems for them too. How many of you know someone that has a bitter spirit? You know what I'm talking about. But here's what's amazing and wonderful, and this is gives us all hope. And here's the hope. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And I tell you that if you are bitter, it isn't God's problem. But you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how wrong I've been. I've been wronged. I don't. But this is the wonderful thing about God, is that God is so full of grace with power that you do not have. Whatever it is in your life at that Mara moment, that God's grace is enough to overcome. And from that bitterness, He can make sweetness. Everybody has Mara moments in their lives, right? You kids have Mara moments. When you start to become bitter, don't you? You kids have Mara moments. How many of us adults know? We all have Mara moments, right? And when your Mara moment comes, the hope is and the good news is that God is always enough because His grace is enough. You don't have to be. You do not have to live trapped, infected by bitterness. You can be an overcomer by the grace of God. So these Israelites, when they came to their Mara moment, they learned a lesson anew. You can trust God, and they learned something else. They learned a new name of God. And strangely enough, in this context, God reveals Himself with a very interesting name. Read about it again in verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently, this is God speaking, hearken, or Moses speaking, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rophaka. I'm the God who heals. Now, in this verse, he looks back and he makes a contrast with the plagues that he brought upon Egypt. And he says, listen, look at all the things that happened that I had to do in their lives because they would not yield to me. And I want to let you know that if you'll follow me, you're not going to have to worry about any of that. I'm Jehovah Rophaka. I'm the God who heals. And then God looks forward to the covenant that he would soon make with Israel. He says, now I want you to listen to my voice because I'm going to tell you about statutes and commandments. I'm going to give you my law. They would leave here. It wouldn't be too long. They would go to Mount Sinai, and there God would give them his law. And he looks forward to the covenant. It's called the Mosaic Covenant. In fact, keep your place there and you can go with me to chapter 24 of Exodus. Chapter 24, we'll read about it beginning in verse 3. Exodus chapter 24, verse 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. This Mosaic covenant, because it is given under the hand of Moses. We're told a little more about it. Some of the conditions of this covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 7. I would invite you to turn with me there as well. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I'll read beginning in verse 12 of Deuteronomy 7 and verse 13 and verse 15. Wherefore it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 7, 12, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. And then go down to verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. You see, God says, if you'll follow me, I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to make sure you don't get diseases. Now, some of these diseases would be by prevention. And God gave his law and God gave some very specific dietary laws that it really is good, healthy eating. He gave some very specific sanitation laws. He gave some very specific moral laws. And just by following God's law, prevention itself would have eliminated so many diseases and sicknesses that they could have had. But all of it was by divine intervention because God would look out for them. If they would follow God, God said, I'm going to look out for you. So God looks backward and makes a contrast. He looks forward to the covenant. And then God looks around and he tells the conditions of this covenant. You just make sure. We're back to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. You just make sure that you hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight. I will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. You just do that and you don't have to worry about any of these diseases. Now today, God is not working with Israel as he did in the Mosaic covenant. Nor is God calling those in Christ to live under the Mosaic law. Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote to us and told us in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, that Christ is the end of the law. But then the question for today that I want to ask you is God still Jehovah Rophaka? Is he still the God who heals? Is he still the God who is our healer? Well, do you mean the gifts of healing or the ability to heal? Now, Jesus had the ability to heal. But Jesus' ability to heal was the authentication that he was indeed who he claimed to be. He was God the Son, the Messiah. John wrote it this way, John chapter 20, verse 30. He says, you know, if I could write everything that Jesus said and did, the whole world couldn't contain all the books I would write. Verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. All of these were done, Jesus' miracles were done, to authenticate that he was indeed God the Son, come in flesh, the Redeemer. Now the apostles as well healed at times. They healed to authenticate their apostleship and their message of Jesus Christ the Messiah. The Apostle Paul described it this way, 2 Corinthians 12:12, that he exercised the signs of the apostles. But I will have you keep your place in Exodus and go with me now to the book of Hebrews, where God tells us about these signs and these wonders. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness with both signs and wonders and diverse miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will? You see, these signs and wonders were authenticating that Jesus and the apostles were truly proclaiming the truth of God's message. Well, the other week we had a fundraiser, Sunday night, a fundraising fellowship for the young people going to camp. And it was Joel Weitzel was sitting over here in the doorway of the fellowship hall against the wall, and he's on the ground. And the young people were collecting. They were collecting tickets. They were selling tickets. And he's down there, and they were taking the money, And I said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." And I reach down his hand. He grabs mine. I pull him up. I said, "A miracle! A miracle! A miracle!" It's pretty exciting. No, today, God heals. Oh, you'd better believe God heals, but it's not a gift or a miraculous ability whereby we lay hands and heal. It's something that God does in his timing, in his way, in his will ultimately. However, I do want to show you three times when God reveals himself as Jehovah, as the source of healing, and three wonderful ways that God is still today Jehovah Rapha, and he is still the God who can heal you. The first is Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 presents Jesus. He is Messiah, and it presents him in a beautiful picture on the cross, resurrected. He is the suffering Savior. And in this time, God reveals Jesus to us, and he reveals himself as the one who heals the soul as our sin barrier. Our sin bearer. He heals the soul as our sin bearer. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, that's Jehovah God, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Are you sin sick? Beyond help, beyond hope, I tell you that Jesus took our sin. He forgives and forever heals. We are told that by his stripes we are healed. And I want you to imagine in your mind's eye, if you can, imagine the Roman guard and the Roman taking the lash and reaching out and lashing Jesus, and imagine, if you will, the strands of it with bone and glass and metal embedded in each of the 9 strands. Imagine as this wraps around Jesus' back and around his stomach, and the Roman pulls this back off, and each time he pulls it off, you see flesh flying. And you see his stripes and you realize that all of those stripes are given so that you and I, who could never do anything to save ourselves, can know his power to heal, to know him as Jehovah Rapha. Do you have Christ as your Savior and healer? Do you know him as Jehovah Rapha? Then turn with me to the prophet Jeremiah, the third chapter of his prophecy, Jeremiah chapter 3. Again, God reveals himself as the Lord, and he is the one who heals. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 21. When you read this, you can hear the heart of Jeremiah broken, this passionate preacher, as he records what God is doing in the lives of people that are far from the Lord. He reveals the Lord as Jehovah Rapha because he heals the backslidden. The Lord, Jeremiah says, there's something I hear, a voice, verse 21, was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forsaken or have forgotten the Lord their God. And then the Lord calls out to them, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. And then you hear the people respond to the compassionate call of God. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Is that you? You've forgotten your God. And you've turned from him and you've backslidden so far away, and yet he's brought you to a time in your life and you realize, oh, I need to go back to my God. And he is the one that invites you back. And when you come back and you're restored in fellowship and the beauty and the power of fellowship with Christ, I tell you, you are experiencing him as Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals and restores the backslidden. Then there's one more time when God reveals himself as Jehovah God with a form of the word for healing. It's Psalm 147. So turn to Psalm 147. The song begins, Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and his praise is comely or becoming. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Oh, he heals the brokenhearted. Have you ever been brokenhearted? Everybody gets brokenhearted sometime in life. And when you're brokenhearted, it is the Lord who reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha. He reveals himself to you. And would you turn to him and let him, if you're brokenhearted, would you let him heal you? Hello, let me tell you about myself. It was a time of trouble, and I told my people, I'm Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I want to let you know, your sin condemns, but through Christ I offer healing. You're far away from me, backslidden, you're not too far from me. I'll restore and heal. Brokenhearted, let me bind up your broken heart. I'm still Jehovah Rapha. Let's stand together, shall we, with our heads bowed.